Good afternoon. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, and this is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We're absolutely delighted that you've chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us. Today, we will be discussing the topic of the importance of discernment in the life of a Christian. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would minister to us only as you can. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who enlightens us and allows us to understand your very words. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, what is discernment? Why is it important for Christians to be a discerning people? Well, we're going to cover that. That will be the topic of our message today. I remember reading in a book once written by a fairly popular pastor, somebody who I've certainly enjoyed listening to over the years and whose books I've enjoyed reading. I remember he was relating a story. He was saying in the book that he was traveling in the South. Now, he's a pastor of a church out west, but he was traveling in the South doing ministry. He was going to various churches, apparently, and preaching in those churches. And in this particular instance, or for this particular story, he said that he was driving in a car heading to another city, I suppose to another church where he was going to be preaching. And in that car with him was another pastor. It must have been a local pastor from somewhere in the area where they were traveling. And he tells the story that as they were driving down the highway, probably some side country road, he noticed a sign in front of a house, a hand-painted sign, which says homemade quilts for sale. He states in the story that his wife likes quilts, and so he decided to pull in and take a look at the quilts and see if there was anything there that he would be interested in buying and taking back home to his wife. As he knocked at the door and he introduced himself and he said, and you know, he told the lady who answered the door why he had stopped, she welcomes him in and starts showing him all these quilts that she has made. While she goes in the back to get her prized possession, I guess the one that she felt was her best-looking quilt, her husband was sitting in the living room in the den watching television, and the pastor, who's relating this story, says in the book that he had noticed throughout the den or the living room lots of religious material. So he asked the husband, while he was waiting for the wife to come out with that one quilt she wanted to show him, he asked them if they were believers. And the gentleman responds by saying, well, believers in what? So he says, well, believers in Christ. And he says, oh, yeah, we're believers in Christ. And he notices as he looks, the pastor's looking at all the different material, the religious literature all over the house, and he notices that even though there's some good Christian literature amongst the many other books and tapes and other things that they had, he also noticed that there was a lot of stuff that had been coming from many of the pseudo-Christian cults. So he asked the gentleman about all the different literature that he had all over the living room, and the gentleman said, well, you know, we've learned truth out of all this stuff that we have received. Apparently, they've been on a mailing list, not only for some of these pseudo Christian cults, but also for many of the popular Christian preachers, television preachers, and they were receiving all sorts of stuff, and he's thinking to himself, as he's talking to this gentleman, he's thinking to himself how curious it is that this man who says he is a believer in Christ seems to think that regardless of what it is that he's reading or who is sending it, he's getting some truth that he can use for his spiritual life out of all that material. And by the time the wife comes out, she comes out with this quilt, which in the pastor's mind, it was certainly not the most beautiful quilt that he thought she had made, but nonetheless, she comes out with this quilt where it looks like she's put together bunches of different patterns and fabrics and just put them together into one quilt. And he as he relates the story, he sort of illustrated the point in that the spiritual life of these people were pretty much represented in the quilt that she had made. They had taken bits and pieces, theological bits and pieces, from many different perspectives and sort of created their own theological worldview based on everything that they had read. And in essence, what we're saying here is that when we do things like that, we don't demonstrate that we are people who are discerning. In other words, we must be very meticulous about the things that we allow ourselves to read and take in, because those things may be, although well-sounding, inconsistent with the truth of Scripture. In essence, what these folks had done is they had not only exposed themselves to some good Christian teaching from various materials they had received from some well-known and well-respected preachers, but they had also been receiving stuff from the pseudo-Christian cults and from some of the more liberal wings of Christianity, and they had sort of incorporated everything they had received from all these different mailings and sort of created their own Christian worldview. Not much discernment going on, and in essence, what ends up happening is that their Christian worldview becomes a worldview that is truly inconsistent with Christianity. We as Christians clearly believe that the Word of God is the sole authority in the life of a Christian, the sole rule for life and practice. Everything that we believe because the Scripture teaches us. We may share an opinion, we may have an opinion about a particular item, we may have differences of opinion on some items, but when it's all said and done, who we are and what it is that we believe as Christians, we believe because the Scripture clearly teaches us. We must be a discerning people. We must be a people who must be who must show discrimination in the literature that we allow ourselves to read, because not everything that is out there, although it may be sold in a Christian bookstore and may be written by a Christian, may not be consistent with the clear teaching of the Word of God. Now, there's a clear command given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to look at that command, and I want to talk a little bit about this whole issue of discernment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 21 and 22, this is what Paul said. But examine everything carefully. Listen to this. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Did you catch the command? But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Listen, we live in a day and age, and it's, you know, the problems that we face as a church and the challenges that we face as a church today are not unique to this generation. These are the challenges and problems that the church has been facing since the church was instituted. But more so in a day and age where Christianity seems to have lost its way. We have compromised the truth of the Word of God. We have compromised the truth of the gospel. We have compromised our values. We have accepted and incorporated into our worldview as Christians many of the different philosophies that are inconsistent with the Word of God. Many of us have become politically correct because that's a philosophy that is pushed today. And if you're not politically correct, then you know it's inconsistent with what the world clearly teaches and believes. You know, I understand that we live in a day and age where we believe that such thing as relativism is true, which is inconsistent by definition. Relativism cannot be true because everything would be relative, and therefore nothing could be true. We live in a day and age where pluralism is promoted, and pluralism, in essence, says something very similar to what these folks were saying about their own Christian experience. Listen, all religions lead to the same place, you know. We may get to heaven in a different way. It really doesn't matter what it is that you believe, as long as you believe it. As long as you practice some religion, you will go to heaven. Pluralism teaches that, but not all religions could be true, because if that were true, then we have a problem, since many religions teach things that are contradictory to one another. Not two religions that teach two opposing truths cannot be true, because one of them has to be right and one of them has to be wrong. If somebody says they don't believe that hell doesn't exist, and another religion says hell does exist, then what is the truth? Who is right of the two? Somebody has to be right, somebody has to be wrong. But listen, we're going to look at a couple of warnings that the Word of God gives us concerning why we have to be a discerning people. And we're going to look at also some of Satan's work and his strategies. And there's a couple passages, several passages I want to look, particularly when it comes to the strategy and the work of Satan in the world. For example, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, we find a very interesting statement made by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Listen to what Jesus says. Do we have a problem today with false prophets? Certainly we do. Many of these pseudo-Christian religions were founded by people who made false prophecies. And for that matter, a false prophet doesn't have to necessarily be exclusively one who makes a prediction that doesn't come true. A prophet is somebody who preaches the Word of God. And if somebody's preaching something that is inconsistent with what the Bible teaches, he's a false prophet. The world is full of false prophets today. In fact, we're told in Scripture that in the latter days, in the days in which I believe we live in, we are going to see a rise of false prophets preaching everything but truth. Jesus said that was going to happen. He said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." An interesting statement. Notice that Jesus clearly tells us that the strategy of the devil is not to come to you as the devil. The strategy of the devil is to come to you as one who is clothed in sheep's clothing so that you will fail to recognize him for who he is. And that goes back to a point that we were making in a previous message. If you're not a person of the Word, how do you know that the person is a false prophet in the first place? You will never be able to recognize, and you will never be able to know that the devil is the one behind doing what he's attempting to do in your life if you have not acquainted yourself with truth. You can only know that which is false because you know truth. Another passage that tells us about the work and strategy of the devil is Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, listen to what we are told. "I know that after my departure," listen, "savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Listen. This is the same warning that we're giving to the one we just read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And it doesn't mean that Satan is going to come in as Satan or present himself as Satan, but that he will come in with the purpose of misleading and, in many cases, perverting the truth that is being preached from the pulpit of these churches in order to ensure that those who believe those falsehoods spend eternity in hell along with him. The business of Satan is to somehow pervert truth and to somehow present what is false as true. That's why he has to clothe himself, disguise himself as a sheep. Do you know that there are churches in America with preachers preaching from the pulpits in those churches who are false prophets? There are nothing more than the agents of Satan who have disguised themselves as sheep. And the only reason they're doing that, according to this passage, is so that they can do things and not spare the flock of God. If he can pervert the message being preached from the pulpit, then the gospel that many will accept and believe is a gospel that cannot save. So many who believe are being saved are not being saved at all. Because the gospel that's being preached from those pulpits is not a gospel that can save. It's inconsistent with the gospel revealed in the Bible. And if there happen to be Christians in those churches who are truly children of God, but who continue to sit under the teaching of these false prophets, in essence, they won't lose their salvation, but in essence, what Satan will effectively do is undermine their work and their witness and their testimony, and will render them ineffective in the world. Another interesting passage is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." You hear that? Disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end, listen, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Listen. The strategy of Satan is to impersonate men and women of God. He's not going to come into a church and teach, deny necessarily a fundamental or a cardinal doctrine of the faith, at least not to start with. What he's going to do is he's simply going to start planting seeds that in time, once they take root and grow, will lead to the denial of the fundamental and cardinal doctrines of the faith. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I'll give you a perfect illustration. We have, in some cases, not only entire churches, congregations, but we have entire, in essence, some almost denominations that one day were conservative churches and denominations who believed the cardinal doctrines of the faith, who stood for truth. And today, they are so liberal and so out there and have so embraced falsehood that you can hardly call them Christians anymore. At least not the newer generations of those who belong to these churches or denominations. You see, it's not you or I who define Christianity. It's not who you and I who decide whether we are Christians or not. I can stand here and say I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean I am a Christian. The Bible defines the faith. The Bible defines whether I am a Christian or not. Whether I belong to a church, whether even I read my Bible, makes no difference. Whether I was baptized, whether I was confirmed, whether I was, it makes no difference. It's what I do with the person of Jesus Christ and what I do with the truth God revealed in His Word that defines whether I'm a believer. I've often used the illustration of a talk show that I was listening to where the caller called in and said he was a Christian, but he didn't believe in the deity or the divinity of Jesus. You can't possibly be a Christian if you deny the divinity of Christ. Christianity is Christ, and Christ is God. And if you say He's not God, you've just denied not only the who Christ is, but you've denied the faith. In his mind, he's a Christian, but Christ is not who he claimed to be. He's not a Christian, by definition. This is the strategy of Satan. Look at one more passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, listen to what Paul says. "But evil men and imposters," listen, "evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." The business of Satan is to deceive and cause us to go from bad to worse. That's the strategy of Satan. It has never changed. Look at what Satan did to Adam and Eve. He deceived them. He's doing the same thing thousands of years later. Is he successful? Look at the state of the church today. Look at the condition of the church. Look at the rate of illiteracy within the Christian church. Has he been successful? Look at many of the things that Christians, not professing Christians, but real Christians believe. Why? They've been deceived by the great imposter, by one who has clothed himself as a sheep. A charismatic person, a smiling person, a gentle person, a kind person. Yet nonetheless, behind the facade, according to Paul, he's nothing more than an evil person whose goal is to deceive you. That's the strategy and work of Satan. Now, what are some of the things that we are warned against? What are some of the things that we have to exercise discernment about? Well, for example, in Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, listen to what Paul says. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Listen, imposters will come in and they will preach deceptive philosophies. And Paul says that you must be a discerning person and you must be able to test everything carefully. A classic illustration of this is Paul and the Bereans. Remember, Paul visited the Berean church and he preached. This is the great apostle Paul. He goes to Berea and he preaches the truth as it was revealed to him by God himself. And you know what the Bereans did after he was done preaching? They took the scriptures they had and carefully compared what he said to what the scriptures said, in order to make sure that what Paul was teaching was consistent with the truth of God's word. Was Paul mad at the Bereans because they took what he said and compared it to the revealed scripture they had up to that point? Not for a minute. He commended them, and he calls all Christians to do the same thing the Bereans do. The problem is we are not a discerning people. We cannot discern because we don't know truth. And if we don't understand the truth of the Bible, there's no way we're going to be able to know that the things that are being preached by these false prophets are false. We're not going to know that they're deceiving philosophies. He says, be warned against empty deception and philosophy that is in accordance with the tradition of men rather than according to Christ. You must be a discerning Christian. Another thing that he warns us against, in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1 and verse 14, listen to what Paul says here. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. We have to be a discerning people and understand that there's going to be commandments and teachings out there that come from man. And that's why it's very important to find statements like the ones he made, for example, in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, where he states that the gospel that he preached and that which he wrote did not originate with men, but was revealed to him by God. What he taught and wrote, Paul, was true because it did not originate with him or any other man. It came straight from God. And what he's telling us is that we have to be a discerning people in order to know whether what somebody teaches is from God or from man. How do we know that? By knowing truth. Another thing he warns us against, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 20, listen to what he says here. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Listen, the Word of God calls us to be a discerning people so that we can realize and acknowledge that which is false knowledge. And that which is nothing more than empty chatter, as he says. One more item we can look at, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Listen to what Paul says here. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. What are we supposed to, what is he warning us against here? What are we supposed to be discerning? For, in order to recognize where the things that are being presented to us are foolish and ignorant speculations. Listen, if we are not a discerning people, we will be a people like that couple who sold him these quilts he bought. We will be a people who will embrace teachings from all other different religions and find value in them. Never realizing that those who are presenting those teachings to us are false apostles and false prophets, evil men whose intention is to deceive us. And if we've never come into a personal relationship to Jesus, they're ensuring that we never will by presenting to us a false gospel that causes us to think we're saved. And if we are Christians, he will render us ineffective if we don't remove ourselves and use discernment and remove ourselves from that kind of teaching. We are responsible to be able to differentiate between truth and falsehood. Why are there so many hypocrites in the church? And why is there such degree of illiteracy in the church? Why is it that so many people are willing to embrace the false philosophies about truth that the world presents, like political correctness and pluralism and relativism? Why? Because they are not a discerning people and have been successfully deceived by the enemy through the strategies that he has used over and over the centuries. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to make a commitment to be a student of the Word of God. If not, you will be deceived and you will not successfully be able to discern. Father, we thank you for this time. We give you all the glory. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the Spirit that communicates that truth to us. We pray that our lives would be a reflection of our commitment to you and to your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen.